I have two mommies, she proudly exclaimed in that resounding voice that only a toddler can master. The kind of voice that demands your attention and seems to have a permanently broken volume control. There, standing in the grocery checkout line early on a Saturday morning, my then two-year-old daughter, Nora, had once again decided that the friendly cashier, who had innocently just asked how old she was obviously asking if the cherub-faced little toddler had a mommy and a daddy. This scene had played out several times over the preceding weeks at the doctor's office, the bank line, the shoe store, the restaurant. Nora seemed to be wholly possessed by this particular fact of her life, and she felt inclined to share that news with anyone who dared to venture within 30 feet of her. As every time before, the scene played out much like a scripted play. The cashier's smile skewed a little bit. She looked at me, searching with confusion written all over her face. "What did you say, honey?" And like every time before, I quickly jumped in. Oh, you know, toddlers, who knows what she says? I swear, I can barely understand half of what she says myself. "My, what a unique ring you're wearing." Only this time was different. This time, my precious daughter sat in the cart in front of me almost at eye level. This time, I couldn't help but catch her gaze and see the confusion and the shame starting to take root. This time, I felt the anguish of a parent, realizing that I had just taught my child a lesson that I instantly wished I could take back. In that moment of rapid diversion, that verbal sleight of hand and redirection, and because of a potentially uncomfortable confrontation, I had taught my daughter to be ashamed of our family. I had taught her fear. I had taught her the beginning steps of a dance that I swore to protect her from. I made a quick decision to pack up that moment in a box, to tie it in a pretty ribbon, one that made my existence as both a parent and a lesbian easier for the world to digest, or just better yet, ignore. Now, from the earliest of ages, we learned to put things into categories. Any Sesame Street fan or parent or grandparent of a Sesame Street fan probably knows the famous song, "One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just does not belong." From 1 year old, children are able to distinguish difference. And those categories provide our lives with order and structure, understanding, and even comfort. They let us know where people or things belong. Now I, as I imagine you have also done, spent a great deal of time thinking about where I belong. And yesterday I asked you to think about who belongs there with you, in that community, in your pulpit. I invited you to unpack some of your boxes to see the bias that is held inside of them, or maybe even hiding in the dark corners. To understand how I came to this work, you should know a little bit about me. I grew up in Alabama, the first grandchild in a very large, very proper Southern family. I was brought up to be attentive to all of the best Southern graces, and I can still set a formal table with my eyes closed. I attended college. I was active in my community. I performed in voice, theater, concert, symphony. I was the apple of my family's eye, and I sat on a pedestal that was not only high, but precariously grounded in my ability to do no wrong and, for God's sake, never embarrass the family in any way. Needless to say, my fall from that pedestal was a long but very quick descent. I was 22 years old when I came out as a lesbian and gay rights activist on CNN. Yeah, you heard me. CNN, your source for up-to-the-minute news. Giving an interview to a local TV station at the annual Gay Pride Festival in Birmingham, Alabama, probably not my best move. But I never could have imagined that CNN would pick up the feed or that some aunt three times removed would happen to be watching at that very moment. And she would promptly pick up the phone and call my extremely conservative grandmother. The fallout was not pretty. My mother had known my secret for a while, and being the loving woman that she is, she was only concerned with my happiness and well-being. I wish I could say the same for the rest of my family, who for nearly 12 years felt betrayed, ashamed, and horribly embarrassed. Now, I'm happy to say that after time and great-grandchildren, things have greatly improved. And my family now accepts and loves my partner and our children with open arms, at least behind closed doors. You see, I had only unpacked a bit of my identity in a very limited way for my family. I had allowed them to only see the pieces of me that I thought they could handle. They only saw the proper, well-mannered, always amenable, and eager to please side of myself. It could be argued that if they had dug a little bit deeper, looked a little bit harder, and quite possibly if I had felt just a little bit safer, the other sides of my life would have shown through. They would have found another side of me, another aspect of my life that makes me uniquely who I am. Unfortunately, once they were allowed to see the parts of my life that identify me as a lesbian, all other accomplishments and identities, well, they were lost to the glaring background because all they could see was my difference from them. Gone were all my accomplishments in theater. Gone were the hundreds of volunteer hours that earned me scholarship to college. Gone was my identity as the beloved grandchild. All were replaced with an otherness and an inability to see me as a whole and complete person. Emerson once wrote, "People only see what they're prepared to see." It's a sad reality, though, that our lives seldom prepare us to challenge what we think we see, what we think we know. On New Year's Eve 2000, I came out to my former roommate from college. And for the next year, she would randomly introduce me as, "This is my lesbian friend, Amanda." I could never decide if that pronouncement was a badge of honor or a tidy warning label. Now, I believe that fair is fair. And so I began introducing her as, "This is my straight friend, Emily." That didn't go over so well. I'm sure that you can see my point here. Even though she had known me for years prior to my coming out, labeling me, and by labeling me, she had created a social shorthand, boxing me up neatly to give social cues to the rest of the world. She had also unintentionally stripped me of all my other identities. Now, I'm confident that there is not one person sitting here today that is one-dimensional. We've all spent our lives trying on new identities, casting off those which we outgrow and evolving into who we are today, in this moment, in this space. We have all learned how to package up our identities, and when it is necessary, and far too often only when it is safe, we unpack those identities for the rest of the world. I know a lot about identity, because there was a man in my life for a time, Eli, who taught me a great deal about the fluid nature of categories. When I met Eli in college, I knew him as Sarah. And over the course of several years, Sarah started to fade away, and Eli emerged. Now identifying as a transgender man, Eli walks through the world on the cusp of identity. Many of the people he comes in contact with still remain confused by his sometimes murky gender presentation. a gender presentation that challenges the social constraints of male and female. People seem to be afraid of what his identity means to their own understanding of self. He spends a great deal of time looking for a workable balance, constantly navigating boxes that are far too small for him. And standing as witness to that transition of identity, I can still see in Eli the person that I fell in love with so long ago. But regardless of all that remains, the need to simplify his gender identity, to put himself in a box that others can handle, consumes so much of his energy. Although our lives have long since gone in separate directions, during the many years that we dated, his physical transition from female to male caused great concern among people who know me as a lesbian. The inevitable question, it varied in form, but it was always searching for the same thing. So, are you straight now? To this day, I remain confounded by that need to label me, to box me up. And the first question that always would spring to my mind is, so does it really matter? Now, what I've shared with you this morning are just mere fragments of my story, small snapshots of a lifetime. My identity has shaped me. It's hindered me at times, and it's always compelled me. It's compelled me to become a Beyond Categorical Thinking trainer, because my experiences with identity constantly reaffirm my belief that it is essential to hear each other's stories, to understand each other's truths, to meet people where they are, lest we fall into the trap of boxing people up for our own comfort. As I buckled her in that car seat, Nora spoke for the first time since I had hurriedly redirected the cashier's attention. I have two mommies. She said it in a near whisper. And as I looked in those sapphire blue eyes, I couldn't help but feel the tears well up in my own. I shook my head in affirmation, afraid that my voice would betray me, and I laid my forehead to hers, our shared gesture of affection since her birth. My mommies love me very much, she said with the assured confidence of one who would not be swayed. Yes, I said, very much. From the heart of a child demanding to be acknowledged for her story, for her identity, separate from my own, I was reminded again that this work never, ever ends. The boxes we pull behind us, the boxes that we struggle to break out of, the boxes where we seek refuge, must never be allowed to be the sole measure of our identity. There is not a box big enough to contain our messy lives and our ever-changing identities. This weekend, I have asked you to look inside your boxes, to dig deep into the dark and scary places, to stretch, possibly bust a few seams here and there. Today, I'm asking you to share some of your stories with each other, to witness the transformative power of really knowing someone beyond labels, beyond categories, and most certainly beyond boxes. It is my prayer that you will continue these conversations and build a beloved community that can never, ever be fully contained in any box put in front of you. Amen. Blessed be, and Ashe.